Isn't that what we long for? Peace on earth. And, you know, not just peace between one nation and another, but peace within us. And so what a beautiful, beautiful song that is. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The word of God for the people of God. Well, Christmas is 2 days away. I imagine for a lot of you, your blood pressure just went up. It all depends on where you're at. You know, if you've got all your gifts purchased, wrapped, and under the tree, then you're excited. If you don't, then you're like me. And you're a little bit stressed out, wondering how you're going to get all that done in just 2 days with the Christmas Eve communion service we have as well. And so... this morning we continue in our sermon series called Surviving the Holidays. And we're finishing it up with a reflection upon how do we truly enjoy the blessings that we have this time of year. And if you remember where we've been, we've talked about the more difficult parts of the Christmas season and of the season of Advent. You know, if you've lost a loved one, this time of year is a reminder of that. If you're estranged from a loved one, this time of year reminds you of that. If you've gone through another year where your dreams have not been realized, then this is another reminder of the disappointments that you've been struggling with. And then when you get around family member and everybody asks you how it's going, and you feel like you have to say great, even when it's not, this time of year can be hard. And this morning we're going to talk about how do we cut through all that? How do we get to the place where Mary is, where she is praising the Lord? I mean, Mary, she's got a lot on her plate. An angel visited her, if you recall, told her that she was going to become pregnant and be the mother of the Messiah, of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then she went to her cousin, or really not her cousin, but her close relative in Elizabeth, who told her, who rejoiced in her coming. And now she responds with a praise. You see, I think sometimes because of all that we put on ourselves during the Christmas season, we almost forget how to praise. We almost forget what this is all about. You know, when we exchange presents and when we go and see family, if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be doing any of it. Right? It'd just be another Sunday. It'd be another Tuesday it's going to be this year. Tomorrow night would be another Monday. And there would be absolutely nothing special about it. It reminds me of this flock of pelicans that I read about in a magazine, and they were out off the coast of California, and they learned that fishermen would come in and clean their fish at this certain spot, the same spot all the time. So the pelicans, what did they start doing? They started coming over there. And if you've gone to the coast, we went on a little boat ride around the bay down there in Gulf Shores, and we saw pelicans doing this. They would come over, and they would just wait for the scraps to be tossed in. And all this whole flock would do that. And then one day, the fishermen learned that there was a market to sell those fish scraps. Now, I don't even want to know where they sell them. That sounds gross. But there's a market for it. So they stopped feeding the pelicans. And so the pelicans stopped eating. In fact, they sent out scientists to figure out what was happening to these birds. Why did they look so grotesque? Why weren't they eating? Why weren't they feeding themselves? And the research, the study showed that they had forgotten how to fish, how to get their fish. They had forgotten how to go down into the water. And even though all the food was right there for them, just beneath the surface, they couldn't do it anymore. And I bring that up to you this morning. It might sound a little strange, but I believe that's what happens to us during the Christmas season. I believe we get so wrapped up in everything else that we miss out on the true blessings of Christmas. We miss out on its meaning. We miss out on its peace. How many people here have ever gone through a Christmas season without feeling much peace? Right? How many of us have gone through a Christmas season without experiencing much joy? How many times have you gone through a family gathering this time of year without experiencing a whole lot of love? And I believe Mary shows us how to have a different kind of Christmas. Shows us how to have a Christmas where Christ is at the center of everything. And so let's take a look and see what she shows us. The first thing we see is this, that in order to know the extent of your blessings, you must acknowledge the depth of your poverty. In order to know the extent of your blessings, in other words, in order to know how blessed you are, you have to know the depths of your poverty. You have to know how poor you are. You have to know how troubled you are. You have to know how broken you are. Here we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, singing these beautiful words about the Lord. She says, "My soul magnifies, glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What is she doing? She is making a decision, and a conscious decision, a very conscious decision, to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit as He has shown and awakened her spirit. And now she can't help but make a conscious decision to glorify the Lord, to praise the Lord, to sing of the Lord, and to ascribe to the Lord the worth that He is due. Mind you, she's not adding any worth to Christ. Our worship this morning doesn't add any worth to Christ. It just ascribes to Him the worth that He already has. It's a celebration of His worth. And so she's answering the call from her spirit to do this. And she recognizes how blessed she is in this beautiful, beautiful song. She recognizes how blessed she is by first understanding how poor she is. Listen what she says. "For He has been mindful of the humble state of her servant, of His servant." In other words, she knew. She knew how broken she was. She knew how poor in spirit she was. You see, when your eyes are open to the broken state you are in, you finally discover your need for the Savior and His blessings. One thing you learn of is you learn of a debt that you cannot pay. You know, we think of Mary, and rightly so, as someone with this amazing faith and someone that is so much, quite honestly, I think a lot of people approach her as someone who is so far beyond him, beyond us. And she would say to you, no, I'm not like that at all. God looked upon me when I was humble, when I was broken in spirit, not when I was high and lifted up. I didn't do anything to earn any of this. God looked at my poverty and pulled me out of it. She recognized that she had a debt that she couldn't repay, that nothing she could do could make things right between her and the Father. And so that here, when she realized that, all she could do was glorify him. All she could do was praise him. She also, we also learn of a righteousness that you do not have. Mary wondered, why me? Right? She knew that she wasn't this holy and righteous person that was perfect in the eyes of the law. After all, none of us can be that. But God plucked her out of her humble state. Her lowly state, to bear the Son of God. One of the things that makes Christmas so hard for us is how hard we work. And I think one of the things God wants to say to us this morning is stop working. Just stop working and be with me. Stop working and celebrate me. Stop working and listen for my call. Listen for my leading. I think another thing when you realize how broken you are is you learn of a prison you cannot escape. And that prison is sin. You realize just how entangled you are in it. And that there's no escaping it except for your Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You also learn of a hope that you cannot find. I wish we knew more about Mary. Because while she was a woman of faith, and while she had hopes for a Messiah, I imagine all of the Jewish people had a hope for a future Messiah. But imagine their backdrop, 400 years, not a peep from God. And I bet she was wondering what on earth God was up to. You see, Mary knew that Jesus was the answer to every one of these. Was the answer to a debt she couldn't pay, a righteousness she didn't have, a prison she couldn't escape, and a hope that she couldn't find. She knew that in Christ she could find great things. What does she say in verse 49? For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary understood that it's in Christ and Christ alone, and so she sang. My question for you this morning, what are you singing? Have you realized that brokenness? Do you know what it means to be in a lowly state? Do you know what it means to be broken in spirit? Do you know what it means to have a debt you cannot repay? A recent study that came out showed that 24% of people are paying off debt from last Christmas right now. Imagine that. Imagine having a debt that no matter how often you stare at it, it never goes away. And it feels impossible. Mary says, you don't have to feel that way. When it comes to your faith, Jesus took care of that debt for you. You don't have to be burdened by it any longer. And so she tells us this morning, she wants us to know that if you want to know the extent of how blessed you are, acknowledge the depth of your poverty. Another thing she shows us is that in your humble state, in our lowly state. The more you honor Christ, the more His mercy is poured out. The more you honor Christ, the more you experience His mercy. Mary goes on to tell us that God's mercy extends to those who fear Him. And this fear she speaks of is not the way that we might get afraid of the dark, or a child might get afraid of a thunderstorm. No, the kind of fear that we're talking about is the kind of awe and reverence and respect you might have for someone who has authority, but whom you also love dearly and deeply. Love. That's what's there with her. And she knew it. And you hear it in her words. So His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And He has brought down rulers in their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Isn't that the Christian story? We like to point to a prideful person and say, pride comes before a fall. I'd rather point to a humble person and say, humility comes before being raised up. That's the Christmas story. You see, our world has become a race to see who can get the most attention and the most glory. But Christ challenges us to resist seeking after the world's love and instead be fulfilled in Him. Over the next few days, over the next week, it's going to be hard for me to get on Facebook. And to be truth be told, it's hard for me ever to get on Facebook. I get on it about once a week, so if you don't see comments from me, that's why. But I get on there sometimes. I like to see how things are going with people. But what I see every Christmas is I see a bunch of videos of people opening presents. And I don't know about you, but I want to see a bunch of videos of people praising Jesus. I want to see a bunch of videos of people becoming less so that Christ can become more. Because that's what Mary's doing here. She's fresh off of walking away from Elizabeth, who said, how is it that the mother of my Lord is here with me? She's not out bragging about it. Instead, she knows how low and how humble that she is. And then she goes on to tell us, if you truly, truly want to be satisfied this Christmas season, that's what you need to hunger for. Listen to her words. She says in verse 53, He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants. When your hunger for Christ becomes greater than your hunger for the things of this world, you will be blessed. Hear that again. When your hunger for Christ becomes greater than your hunger for the things of this world, you will be blessed. That's where Mary was. She was answering the call of her spirit. Her spirit that had been united with the Holy Spirit. And she said, I want some more of that. How can that be where my heart is? How can that be where my thoughts are? How can that be the spirit of my worship? And how does that happen for us? I want to leave you with four quick things that'll help you. The first one is this: ask God to reveal your misplaced hunger. I want you to know we all chase after the flesh at some point. We all chase after the world. We get distracted. We get consumed by it. I still can't believe how irritated I got watching the Titans game yesterday. I was yelling at the TV, you can ask my children. Telling the coaches how to coach, telling the players how to play. And then I sat there afterwards and I thought, why am I so frustrated by this when this doesn't mean a thing in the scope of eternity? So I'll try and do better next time. Ask God to reveal your misplaced hunger. Also identify what is missing from your faith. You might be here this morning and you think, I don't know how you get hungry for God. I don't know how to be hungry for God. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if I have that. I don't know what it means to thirst for God. I don't know hunger, thirst for righteousness. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, but I don't know what that means. I want you to know, if you ask Christ to reveal what's missing in your faith, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, God is faithful and rewards those who diligently seek Him. Every time. Not just some of the time, every time. Maybe you're hearing, you know already that something's missing from your faith. Nobody has to even tell you there's something missing. You just need to know what it is. Ask the Lord to help you identify it. Number three, recall a time when you pursued Christ. In other words, reflect upon those moments where you have felt united in Christ, where His pursuit of you and your desire to find Him met. And all of a sudden, it became one of those benchmarks of your faith. Reflect upon that. And then fourthly, find someone who stirs up your faith. It's a blessing to have people in your life that help you to grow. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one woman sharpens another. Do you have somebody like that in your life? Mary had Elizabeth. Elizabeth had Mary. Who do you have? I share all this with you to leave you with this thought. Over the next couple of days, maybe over the next week, depending on when you get together with your family, you're going to get a lot of presents. You're going to be blessed with a lot of good company. Blessed, hopefully, with a lot of good food. But don't miss out on the greatest blessing of it all. Don't miss out on being with Jesus. Don't let your schedule be so busy that you don't take time for Him. The average Christian, I shared this last week in passing, the average Christian spends 3 minutes in prayer. I want you to know, I think Mary might have beat that. When she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," I think that while those verses might seem short and you can read them in under 3 minutes, I imagine she'd spend a whole lot more than 3 minutes with God. So spend more time than that with Him. Seek Him out and let Him meet you where you are. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that this time of year is special because of what You've done. Because Your Son came and dwelled among us. Because we have seen God in the flesh and we have heard Your celebration. Lord, we pray that You would help us to keep our eyes focused on what Christmas is all about. Let us rejoice and make that decision to rejoice. Let us listen to the call of the Spirit. Let us answer the call of our own spirits, which yearn for You, which are one with You. And may we answer that call and make that conscious decision to glorify You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get ready for our hymn of invitation, I want to invite you, if God has laid anything on your heart this morning, I want you to respond to it. I want you to answer that call of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're also going to give everyone an opportunity who feels led by the Spirit to bring down their commitment, their pledge for 2019. You might wonder, why do we do this? What is it all about? Firstly, it's something that's between you and God. It's about acknowledging how God has blessed you. It's about responding to that. It's about having a conscious decision to say, you know what, I'm going to set these gifts aside for God for the next year. And at this time, if anybody would like to participate in that does not have a pledge form and you would like one, raise your hand. We've got some in the back. But first off, it's something that's between you and God. It's something we don't demand. If you want to participate in this, we would love for you to. My family and I do. We think it's important. But also, it's about your heart. You know, it's about, you know, giving is always, always about what God is doing within you. And it's always a response to what God has done for you. And so giving is supposed to be, you know, sacrificial. Giving is supposed to be joyful. Giving is also supposed to be meaningful. It's not supposed to be just emotion that you go through. It's not supposed to be something that you just do because everybody else is doing. God loves those who give generously and joyfully and who answer His call. And so I'm going to invite you. You can come forward if you want to participate in this. We invite you to. We've had copies of our budget for the next year. This helps the church leadership, the session, to know how much of our budget is pledged. It helps us with our decision making. There's lots of benefits to it. But the biggest benefit is between you and God. And if God is laying anything else on your heart, come down to this altar and pray. Come down to this altar and humble yourself the way that Mary did in that song.